So welcome, everyone. We're going to hear those beeps coming in. My name is Wendy, and you are here with WLS Success Matters, our Saturday morning support group call. It's just 8:01 here on the West Coast, and typically we have people get on the call between 8 and 8:03. So we'll give them a couple more minutes to join us, and then we'll get things started. The star button on your phone is your best friend. That star button is going to put you on mute. So you'll hear us, but we won't hear any of the background noise. You might be out for a walk. You might be doing the laundry. Kids might be at a baseball game. And we don't want to hear any of that noise, right? So you just hit the star, and that'll put you on mute. And then when you want to join in the call, ask a question, share a thought, you just hit that star again, and that'll take you off of mute, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we got another minute here before we get started. How's everyone doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Good. Love to hear that. Do we have any first-time callers with us?
I am. Yep. Mary Sue.
I am.
Oh, I heard four new callers.
I am.
Welcome. Five new callers. I love it.
Hi, Jeannie Aldridge.
Hi, Jeannie. Is this your first time calling us?
It is.
Oh, everybody's a first timer so far, I think. That's awesome. Welcome, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So it's 8:02 here. Another minute. We'll give some people a chance to call in. I'm so glad you're all here. You are with WLS Success Matters, and this is our free Saturday morning support group call. We do these the first Saturday of every month at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, so mark your calendars for that. And then we also do every third Thursday of the month, and those are in the evening. So our next one will be on the 20th of September. I'm sorry, we're in October now. No, September. It'll be the 20th of September in the evening, and those are at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And you can always find out about all of our offerings that we have available, including our support group calls on our website. And then that's WLSSuccessMatters.com. So if you have not been to the website yet, I encourage you to get there, especially if this is your first time calling. There's so much for you to learn about us. As a whole by visiting our website. So with that said, it's 8:04, so I'm going to go ahead and get started with our call. Let's go ahead, and we had several people that are new on the call. Do we have any repeat callers? Do we have anybody returning? Usually it's a bunch of people returning. Anybody been here before and come back again today?
Yes, I've been here before.
Oh, good. Okay. Excellent. What's your name?
I'm Grace in Wyoming, and I'm about almost 10 years out from surgery.
Oh, good. Well, glad to have you with us, Grace. Thanks for being here again. And then we had a lot of new people. Where'd y'all come from? Anybody? Are you pre-op, patients, on the journey to surgery?
I'm Mary Sue from South Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and I am probably about a month from surgery.
Okay, perfect. Excellent. Glad to have you with us.
I'm Jeannie Aldridge, and I am a couple months out from surgery. I'm in the middle of nowhere in Iowa.
Well, this is a great way for you to get connected with people, so I'm glad you're here with us. Good, very good. Anybody else want to share that's new?
Hi, I'm Valerie, and I'm in the Virgin Islands, and I just finished all my pre-op.
Awesome. I just met one of the senators from the Virgin Islands a couple weeks ago. Positivity Nelson.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. So welcome. Glad to have you here. That's awesome. So we have a lot of people who, it sounds like, we've got some long-time veterans on the call with us, 10 years post-op or greater. And we have some folks that are on their way to the finish line, we'll call it, of that loser's bench, right? Getting over the I've had surgery hump. And then those that are just freshly post-op, it sounds like, a couple of months post-op. So welcome, everybody. I had weight loss surgery about 10 years ago. And Sandy, the other half of WLS Success Matters, had weight loss surgery 13 or 14 years ago. And I happen to be married to a weight loss surgery patient, and my mother-in-law is a weight loss surgery patient. So I kind of think I come from a family of weight loss surgery people. So you guys are now my extended family as well. So welcome. We hope you come back to join us another time. So today we are going to talk about personal accountability. When you think about personal accountability, what pops up for you? Anybody? What do you think? What's that make you think about?
Taking control of your life.
Taking control of your life. I like that. That's good. Anybody else? Personal accountability.
Just want to be healthy.
Oh, you want to be healthy. So you're kind of defining what you're personal going to be personally accountable for, right? Is being healthy.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So one of the success habits, there was a research study done, and the research study looked at a group of weight loss surgery patients and followed them over a period of 5 years. And wanted to understand what made them successful. Like, what was a successful weight loss surgery patient, and what did they do, right? So someone who maintains 80% of their excess weight loss, regardless of what surgery type they had, that's what they decided was, after 5 years, that they had maintained 80% of their weight loss, their excess weight loss, right? Pretty good number, 80%, right? So they wanted to look at that group of people and find out what they had in common. And when they looked at what they had in common, they were able to create the success habits. And with those success habits, they defined how to stay successful, right? How to become and stay successful. And so one of those six success habits, that's what we call them, success habits, is personal accountability. And I'll share with you the definition that we use for personal accountability. It is, I recognize that I alone am responsible for my successes and my failures. I recognize that I alone am responsible for my successes and my failures. When you hear that, what's the first thing you think about? Anybody?
I think about that you're in control. That it's you're.
Bronwyn from South Africa.
Go ahead. You hear that you're in control, and I hear my old friend from South Africa has joined the line. Exciting. Very good. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
So anybody else? So that was good. Jeannie shared with us what person, when she hears that, what that makes her think about, right? Anybody else? When you hear that definition of personal accountability, what pops up for you? Nothing? What about some of those pre-op people out there? Those of you who have not had surgery yet and you're hearing that you're responsible for your successes and your failures.
I think it means you're going to have a lot of work to do.
Aha, there you go. There you go. It's going to mean you have a lot of work to do. Good. I like that. So that's something I want you guys to walk away with today, personal accountability. I want you to really hone in on what that means for you, how you being responsible for your successes and your failures matters, right? So with that, I want to talk about setting weight loss goals. I'm going to reach out to my caller that's with us that's 10 years post-op, and hopefully she's going to share with us. When you think about setting weight loss goals at 10 years post-op, what can you share with us about that?
I didn't catch all that. When I think about what?
Setting weight loss goals, right? Part of
right.
accountability is setting uh-huh. goals. So being someone who's 10 years post-op, what has setting weight loss goals meant to you as you stand at 10 years post-op? Would you mind sharing?
Okay. Well, I continue to weigh regularly, almost every day. I know that's just my personal preference. And I have above my scale a graph where I record those weights. And I'm 6 pounds over my goal weight, which I'm trying to get back to for my birthday, which is late October. And just staying within, I usually stay within a 5 pound range of my goal weight. And when I get out of that, I get back on the program. And so setting that goal and realizing that at that weight, I look and feel my best and I'm most pleased with myself. It's a personal pride thing. And when I exceed that limit, I'm unhappy with myself and not as proud of myself. So for lots of reasons, I keep that goal in mind and I keep it on my chart. And I look at my charts. I have maybe 25 pages of charts. I graph it. I'm an engineer. And I have 25 pages of charts. And all I have to do is glance at those charts and say, I know how to do this. I've done it time and again. And I can do it. And I know how. And just get with it and do it. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but that's how I look at it.
It absolutely answers my questions. I'm standing, clapping, standing ovation for this gal. Wonderful, right? So that I don't know her from Adam. I did not call her last night and tell her what to say or what our discussion was going to be about today. So that was just really pitch perfect, if I can put it that way. And so thank you for that. And I hope those of you that are brand new to this journey heard the inflection in her voice and the importance that she shared in the way that she stated it of why things matter to her, because that exactly ties in to what I want to talk about today with getting your goal, right? Most of us, those for sure that are successful weight loss surgery patients, know exactly how much they weigh, and they have very clear goals in mind for their future. So if you're a pre-op patient, you know how much you weigh, right? If you have crossed that surgical milestone and you are freshly post-op, you know how much you weigh, right? And as our friend Cher, who's 10 years post-op, she has a routine. She knows how much she weighs. Now, that's something that I want to encourage all of us to know. I'm a believer of a one time a week, usually at the same time of day, wearing or not wearing the same amount of clothes, right? And my day is Monday because I had surgery on a Monday almost 10 years ago. So my official weigh-in day is on Monday, right? And that is a time where I give myself the opportunity to face the truth, right, good, bad, or ugly, evaluate my behaviors, also good, bad, or ugly. Did I accomplish what I set out to accomplish in that week, right? So you need to find your rhythm, right? You need to find your rhythm of when are you going to be checking in on that weight as just one piece of the measure, right? There's a lot of different ways on your journey. But as weight loss surgery patients, everybody agree that weight matters in that picture?
Weight matters.
Right?
I like that you have to get on the scale and hold yourself accountable, because that's one thing I have a problem doing.
Yes, it does matter, and that's a part of personal accountability. Nobody knows technically how you're living and what you're doing but you, 100%.
Correct.
So that check-in on the scale matters. And I'll tell you, over the years, I consider it a science project. It doesn't define me, who I am as a person. It doesn't define the quality of person that I am or my character or my beliefs, right? But
right.
It is something that I used to avoid. Prior to weight loss surgery, I would avoid standing on the scale. And then when I did, it was always up. I was always up 20 pounds from the last time I stood on that scale, right? Oh. So now I have a regular habit of standing on a scale a minimum of one time per week and recording that weight, right? So I loved how our engineering friend shared that she had all of her charts.
Yeah.
I also have a record. I keep a record in a notebook week after week after week what my weight is, right? So you want to know how much your weight is, and you want to have a clear goal for your future.
Yeah,
right? That's
sense.
Number one. Say it again?
I said, and that makes sense.
Yes, good. That's what we're here, to make sense of it all, right?
Right.
There's an old folk tale about a traveler roaming the countryside. He stopped at one particular intersection and asked the local farmer, "How long will it take me to get to the next town?" "I don't know," replied the farmer. "That depends on how fast you walk." Okay.
Yes.
So a lot of times people ask, when will I reach my goal weight? Right? When am I going to reach my goal weight? Those of you that are brand new, first-time callers, have you asked yourself that question? Have you asked anybody that question? Your friends, your family, your surgeons, fellow weight loss surgery patients, have you asked them, when will I reach my goal weight?
I have not.
Yeah. Not really.
I heard a no. Not yet, huh?
No.
No. Okay. So at some point along the journey, you might start wondering that. Right? You might start wondering, when am I going to get there?
Yes.
Yes. I ask myself that all the time, yeah.
Okay. There you go. When am I going to get there? And that really just depends on how fast you lose and how far you have to go. So predicting an exact weight loss goal and date is nearly impossible. Right? Everybody is going to be different. So one of the things that I want to also share with people is not to be comparing yourself to anybody else. So if you're on social media or even in these calls, or if you visit your doctor's office and you're sitting in the patient waiting area and people are talking about their weight loss and how far post-op they are and how much they've lost, and you meet somebody who had the same surgery as you in the same month or maybe even the same day as you, and you guys start sharing your stats, right, sharing your progress, just really be careful not to compare yourself to anybody else. I see it happen a lot in our community, and it really robs you of your own personal joy. Right? So it's great to have conversations like that and share with other people who are also on a weight loss surgery journey. But just remember that we are all as unique as our fingerprints. Right? We all have different jobs. We all have different home life environments. Some of us are married. Some of us divorced. Some of us are widows. Some of us have 5 kids. Some of us have never had children. Some of us are 6 feet tall. Some of us are 4.8 feet tall. Some of us have 100 pounds to lose. Some of us had 300 pounds to lose. Some of us like to eat protein-based meals. Others like to eat vegetable, fiber-based meals, right? So things like that. I just really want you to know that you don't want to compare your goals and your progress to anybody else's. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's kind of the same when it comes to, you know, it's and everyone is different, and, you know, how much should I weigh or how much can I lose, right?
Right.
Those questions, those are also questions that frequently get asked. And if you haven't asked them yet, how many of you have thought that already? How much should I weigh or how much mm-hmm. can I lose? Anybody thought of those things yet?
All the time.
All the time. All the time. Okay, good.
I've had some conversations with my doctor about, you know, an ideal weight or a healthy weight.
Good. So I love that.
It's not necessarily what it says on the chart either, I don't think. Like for your body, BMI.
Mm-hmm.
I know sometimes she says that if you got to that weight that you would be too small.
I'd like to add, after 10 years of this, I actually ended up with my final weight being 10 pounds under what my original goal weight was, because when I got to my goal weight, I realized that it wasn't quite right yet. But there's one more factor that I don't think doctors consider enough, and that is as you age, your weight, you lose muscle mass, and your ideal weight goes down. It actually, I'm at 145 now. If I'd been at 145 when I was 40 years old, I would have been skin and bones because I had so much more muscle.
Right.
But now I'm 66 and my ideal weight is lower. So I don't know what age range you're in, but don't get too fixated on a single weight. Look at what's right for you at your age and your body.
There you go. Perfect. I appreciate all three of those shares, and I think that everybody hit something. One, you know, we're always kind of thinking about it, right?
Right.
And I think part of the reason that we're always thinking about it is for many of us, this might be the first time that we've weighed a certain weight in 10, 15, 20, 25 years.
Right.
Right? So it's been a long time since we were in a consistent pace of losing weight or consistently maintaining a lowest weight that we've ever been at, right? So we kind of ask ourselves, you know, how much should I weigh? How much can I lose? Our friends, our family, as well as ourselves are seeing a new body, right? We're seeing new behaviors. We might not be doing the same things that we were doing before, and people are noticing that we look different and that we act different, and so they may be asking us or they may be making comments to us, you've lost too much weight, you need to eat more, you know, things of that nature, and that can play into our own mental mindset, right? Additionally, I like that somebody mentioned that they were talking to their doctor about it. That's a perfect place to have that conversation. Right, is, you know, when you're going into surgery or even every visit that you make with your doctor and the team, it's a great place to talk about what's possible, right, based on my health, my physical abilities or limitations, my age, my surgical type. What is expected? You know, where do I want to try to end up? And somebody else brought up the BMI scale, and there's a lot of different opinions about the BMI chart, and everybody, I think, is open to having their own opinion. I don't think that there's a right or a wrong answer about the BMI chart. That's just my position on it. Most of us, you know, we were granted the okay to have weight loss surgery because we were 35 BMI or higher, right? So I always like to remind people that that BMI chart matters when you decided to have weight loss surgery, right?
Something to reference. I mean, there has to be some guideline or...
Exactly. And so it's there for a reason. Do I think that it needs to be updated, you know, should it be updated and changed? And wouldn't it be cool to see it take all kinds of factors into consideration as far as age, muscle mass, things of that nature? Wouldn't it be great, right?
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily do that. So is it the end all be all answer to everything? No. Right. But certainly it's something that we should look at and at least understand it. Doesn't necessarily mean we have to consider it the final answer. But it should play a factor in. Does everybody here on the call know what their current BMI is?
Yes.
I got one, yes.
I don't know. I mean, I've been told, but I didn't. You know, when they start, they tell you that, and then they show you, like, where you're at, what that means. And morbidly obese is a very offensive word.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I get you. And hallelujah when you get to the place that you're just overweight.
Right?
Like, never have I been so excited to go from one level of obesity just being okay. Right?
Yeah, that's funny.
That said,
you know, I had joined different weight loss programs over the years, and the final one that I had joined, I got down to, I'm 5'1", and I got down to 123, and I looked sickly. Like, I didn't look healthy at all, and everybody thought that there was something wrong with me that hadn't seen me in a while. So, and I really did, like, when I looked at my face, it looked very sunken in, and it was just, I didn't look good at that weight. I then went to 150, and I looked so much better for being 5'1".
Right.
And I talked to my doctor about that, and even though 150 he still considers to be obese for me, I mean, that's where I looked healthy.
And
I felt
there you
healthy.
Go. And so that's really important, and I think that's what our 10-year veteran caller shared with us, too. That was the third thing that I heard. And that is, regardless of what goal you set for yourself, right, regardless of what a BMI chart states, at the end of the day, this is about personal accountability, right?
Right.
So this is about how you feel about you. And that might be how you look. That might be the type of food you eat. That might be how much water or other beverages you choose to consume, what they are, how much and how often. That might be your fitness level activity and or what type of fitness you choose to do or how often you do it. That might be the type of vitamins and supplements you take to promote good health, good skin, things of that nature. It can be about how you like yourself. When you look in the mirror or when you see your picture or when you see yourself on a video, right, or when someone says to you, you look amazing. Do you feel amazing, right, about where you are? When somebody says you're too thin, do you feel that you're too thin, right? So it really has to be a combination of all the pieces working together so that you are pleasantly happy with yourself and everything you do to live that way, to be that person, right? Because all of our behaviors that we take on every day is going to determine what we look like and how much we weigh and how we feel about ourselves. Would you guys agree?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Okay. So somebody, and I will say that I'm 5'10", so the BMI chart does favor those of us that are taller, in my personal opinion. And I've said 4'8 earlier because my running partner is 4'8". And the BMI chart does not favor her nearly as well as it does me, right?
Right.
So that's why, it's just one measure. It's not the end-all, be-all. It's really about the whole package and how you feel about you. And the other thing that came up in that was I love that when you set a goal for yourself and you get there, maybe you've never been there before, right? Or for me, prior to weight loss surgery, I went through a bunch of photos, like back in the day where we used to print photos and have big plastic tubs of photos that we moved around from house to house. I went through all those photos and I found pictures of myself at my goal weight. There had been many times in my life that I had weighed 145 pounds. That was my goal weight. And I found pictures of myself at that weight. And that's really part of how I determined my goal weight was that when I looked at those pictures of myself, those were the pictures I liked of me, right? So I wanted to get there again because I liked the way I looked in those pictures, right? So, a lot of it goes into how are you going to determine your goal weight? And it's okay for your goal weight to change because you never know what will happen in your life. Fitness plays a big part of it, how your body reshapes. Age plays a big part of it. The types of food, whatever type of food you're putting in your body is also determining the way your body shapes, right? So the exercises that you do depend, really play a big part in how your body looks as well. So you might get to a point where you feel like you want to lose another 10 pounds. Okay, give it a shot. See how you look. See how you feel, right? You might get to a place where you feel like you'd rather bump it up 10 pounds. Okay, give it a shot. See how you look. See how you feel. At the end of the day, nobody else can decide or determine where you should be, right? They can all be a part of the conversation, but who at the end of the day is going to be the person that's responsible for and lives in that space? That weight and everything that goes with it. Yourself, right?
Right.
So keep that in mind. Don't put too much emphasis on what other people think or what a chart says. Make sure it's about you, okay? So keep in mind that the average weight loss after weight loss surgery typically can range anywhere from 90 to 120 pounds in the first year. 90 to 120 pounds in the first year. And the more weight you have to lose, the longer it's going to take, right? Oftentimes, men lose faster than women.
Of course.
The optimum time, a lot of times, they call it the honeymoon phase for some surgical types. I don't believe this to be true for all, but I do know that in a mental space, we're often most motivated during the first 12 to 18 months post. So oftentimes that's when you're going to see your greatest amount of weight loss. But I will share with you that I have a client who is 18 years post-op, and at 18 years post-op, she has successfully lost close to 70 pounds in her 18th year.
Wow.
Yeah, right? 70 pounds at 18 years post-op. So as our 10-year post-op client, caller shared, she knows what to do, and she just has to do it, right? So I really believe with our choice to have weight loss surgery and be bariatric patients, if we follow the guidelines that our surgeons have provided us and actually live those to be who we are, our truth, then we can continue to lose weight at any point, regardless if you're 6 months post-op, 6 years post-op, or 16 years post-op. You still have the ability to lose a significant amount of weight at any time you choose to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Oftentimes, weight loss will be rapid at first, and then it will slow down, right? So this is a great reason why you want to do those regular weigh-ins for yourself so that you can see that and not be surprised by it. And it can also be kind of crazy when you're like, when you're first post-op, you might lose 10 pounds on the pre-op diet, and then you might lose 10 pounds in the first week, and before you know it, you're 3 months post-op and you lost 40 or so pounds. And then it starts to slow down. Maybe it starts that it's only 5 pounds a month, right? And then it'll slow down further. It might get down to it's only 2 pounds per month, right? And the key there is to remove the word only. As you start to lose a slower because you're smaller, right? The less weight you have to lose, the slower it's going to go, right? So the smaller you get and the more weight you lose, the slower it's going to go. And every ounce counts. So often I'll hear people say, I only lost 1 pound. Only, remove that word only, and stand in the position that your behaviors, the way you lived, produced a 1 pound loss, right? Doesn't that sound a lot better for your mindset than only?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's something I want you guys to take away from this call, that if you are choosing yourself first and giving it your best every day and looking at it each day and each choice as an opportunity to create change for yourself, at the end of it all, anything should be considered progress. And if you take that word only out of it, it's a lot more positive mental conversation, right?
Right.
Yes.
And we need to celebrate that progress, right? We've got to be our own number one cheerleaders. Own number one cheerleaders.
Yes.
And then, so the other thing, some people will lose steadily, while others will have periods of rapid weight loss and alternating with plateaus, okay? So just another reason why we don't want to compare our journeys to anybody else's. You know, plateaus do happen, and they're a great opportunity to keep working it, to not get down or get frustrated, to take a look at, gee, I've been doing the same 2 mile walk around our neighborhood for the last 6 months, and I've lost 60 pounds as a weight loss surgery patient. And my eating hasn't changed, my exercise hasn't changed, but I'm not losing weight anymore. Huh. What do you think you might do if you're that person?
Bump it up.
Bump it up. Bump it up. That's right. So instead of going on a 2 mile walk, what might you do different?
Go on a 3 mile walk.
Go on a 3 mile walk. What if you jog that 2 miles instead of walking it?
Yeah.
That is what I want to do. I want to be able to jog. I really would be thrilled to be able to jog.
Yeah, and so what are you doing to make that happen?
I am very physically active. We have 10 acres, But I walk a lot, but I need to make it a priority and set a time where this is what I'm going to do.
I'm also
a caregiver, so it seems like I worry about what everybody else is doing and kind of take the back seat. So my new thing is I'm going to be put myself a little higher up on the rung.
There you go. Well, you know what? I'll tell you a couple things. Great share there, right? And a little bit off track of where I want to go with this call, but I think it's an important piece. And that is I talk to a lot of people. Anybody can be a goal setter, right? They can say, I want to run. They can say, I want to lose 50 pounds. They can say, I want to start cooking my meals at home. Like, anybody can set a goal. But there is a certain group of people who become goal getters,
mm-hmm.
right? Not only do they set goals, but they actually get those goals.
Right.
And that involves a lot of things. One, you have to be able to have a vision of what you want that goal to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you have to ask yourself, why does it matter, right? Mm. Why does that goal for you matter? What's in it for you? Why is it that you want to be able to jog, right? you need to know that, because that should be your anchor. And then you need to determine what are you willing to do to get there, right? And so what's that look like? And then, basically use the SMART goal setting. Be specific with your goal, right? I want to jog how far, how often, for what reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is it measurable, right? How are you going to measure it? For me, and I'll share my story after I tell you this, how are you going to measure it? Is it attainable? Can you jog? Okay. Is it realistic, right?
Right.
And do I have two bad knees, or do, my knees feel pretty good? So I could probably give this a shot, right? And then what's the timetable? When are you going to start, and when do you plan to call yourself a jogger? Put some timelines in there.
There you go.
The other thing, and then you create the daily action plans, right? Then you create, what do I have to do to make this happen? And the other thing I heard you share, and it's a big thing, and I find that it happens for both men and women, but it seems to be that it's really hard for the female population to get comfortable with putting themselves first.
Mm.
And it's because we're moms, we're wives, we're daughters, we're sisters, we're friends, we're bosses, we're employees, we're grandmas, we're aunts, we're cousins, we're the master chef, we're the laundry taker, we're the domestic goddess, we have all these titles that we have, and we really easily put other people's needs before ours, and it is one of the most important personal accountability lessons that I have seen in the weight loss surgery community is for us and we and I as a female to put me first. I matter. And what I've learned and what I preach to my circle, I started a new job a couple of weeks ago and I work for the CEO of the company. And on day one, I let him know about my fitness routine, that I haven't missed a workout in 10 years, and I don't plan on it. So
that's nice.
I let him know up front, like, I'm all in for my job, but at the same time, you need to know that I have some boundaries because I need to do X, Y, and Z for me.
Right.
So I talk about that with my husband. Like, we can do X, Y, Z, but I have to get my workout in first.
And that shouldn't be too much to ask.
Say that again?
I said it seemed, and that should not be too much to ask.
Right?
To be able to,
there
you
know,
take care of yourself.
Yeah.
There you go. And that's how you have to think about it, right?
Right.
Like, if somebody thinks that's too much to ask for you to take care of yourself, regardless of who that other person is,
right,
we have to start asking ourselves, is this someone who supports me and cares about me?
Right. Right.
Because if they are not supporting you, then they probably don't care about you.
Right.
And or you need to have a deeper conversation with them about why it matters. It's not surface level. Right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's part of personal accountability too, right, is coming to the place where you can openly communicate about your needs and your wants and your desires, because they are going to change.
Right.
The person you are pre-surgery to the person you're going to be post-surgery, you're going to be the same sweet, caring, honest, nurturing, you know, person that you are today.
Right.
But how you live, what you consider to be of most importance, what you like to do for fun, where you like to eat, how often you like to eat, the social things that you do, the time where that little pieces of time that you have available to do things that you want to do is going to be so important. And it's probably not going to be spent. You're not going to spend that time doing the same things you were doing before surgery.
That's okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a big transformation that's going to go on, and the people that are kind of your circle, they're not going through it like you are, but they
right.
are going through it because
right.
you're not the same as you were before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Because
so
yeah.
you definitely want to have those conversations.
That's a good thing. Right?
Yeah, it should be considered a great thing. You got that right. Absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Well, and
so, go ahead.
Like so many people put the weight loss, but there's so much more that goes with it. Like, I want to feel good. I want my blood pressure to go down. I quit smoking. I haven't smoked for 2 months. I'm really happy about that. That's another, I think I'm going to be able to jog because I'm not going to hack my lungs up when I'm jogging. I just feel like my back pain, that's besides looking good, I feel like I'm ready to feel good. And
yeah,
taking weight off, I know, is going to be a big factor because I can move more freely.
Absolutely. So I have a great friend of mine who's also like me, just about 10 years post-op, and we were having a conversation a couple of years ago. And she lost all of her weight, and then she regained it all back. And then she has gone on to lose it all again. And when she hit the point that she had regained 150 pounds back, she decided that she just wanted to be healthy, that
yeah.
the weight gain opened her eyes to how bad her asthma was, how hard it was to breathe,
yeah.
how her body ached in ways that she had forgotten that it could ache.
Right.
And she just wanted to be healthy. And
right.
so we started talking about it. What if, so then we looked at kind of like the end result. Like, we all signed up for weight loss surgery because we had either a medical condition, sleep apnea, high blood pressure, diabetes. I had... you know, pain in our backs, in our knees, in our foot, our feet, all these different things. And so the result of our weight loss was improved health.
Right.
Right? Diabetes goes away, sleep apnea can go away, high blood pressure can be reduced, I mean, people go from being diabetic to not being diabetic in one surgical day.
That's
right?
What I've heard. Wow. Is that amazing?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So the reality is health is a direct result of weight loss, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So my friend and I were saying, what if they would have been out there marketing health surgery?
Right.
What if we called it health surgery instead of weight loss surgery?
Right.
And I'm going to be honest with you guys. 10 years ago, at 34 years old, with no health problems except for physical pain, back pain, foot pain,
right.
knee pain. But I was 34. I didn't have any health problems. If they wanted me to, and I was a cash pay. So if someone told me I could pay $15,000 cash to be healthy, I would have said no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I was healthy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And all I was focused on was losing weight.
Right.
I didn't want to weigh 269 pounds.
Right.
Right? And
right.
So sometimes it takes living through what weight loss can do for us to realize the reality is I'm physically and mentally 300
yes.
times healthier
yes.
than I was 10 years ago.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. And I can look at it now and say, you know what? It really is health surgery.
It is.
It is.
My doctor talks a lot about the comorbidities. And
yeah,
and that's everything that you said, the diabetes, the sleep apnea, the achy joints, the reason the insurance companies are paying for it now is they're finding if they get you healthy, in the long run, it's going to save them money.
Yep.
Because you're healthy.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. There's a ripple effect to it. Right?
I'm very excited. I'm not going to lie. I am really excited about being a slimmer me. But everybody says that I'm not heavy enough because I'm thick. I don't appear to be obese, but I am by the BMI. But because I'm thick, it doesn't, you're not big enough. And I'm like, but I am. And I have all these other things that go with it that I'm ready to get rid of.
Yeah, so. And that's the way you talk it. You know, I've cautioned people, you know, as a whole, not just you specifically, but I think that's kind of the point that I was making earlier. I caution people to care about what everybody thinks and
right.
what everybody says. Who's everybody? And
right.
Who, and do they matter, really?
No. Not at all. They don't pay my bills. They don't.
Right.
My not at all.
Yeah. So start weeding the garden.
Nice.
Right? Start weeding that garden. And also really, you know, be you and be in the place of conviction. If you choose to spend your energy combating or defending
yes.
yourself with these everyone's,
yes.
then do it effectively. You know, speak your truth. Or
yeah.
weed the garden and move on, because the reality is you're not going to have enough time or energy to do that. You're going to be focused on what you
right.
need to eat, how you need to exercise, getting your water in, making sure you're hitting your protein goals, making sure you're taking your vitamins and supplements, staying accountable. You're going to have enough to worry
yeah.
about and focus on
yeah.
that the energy to deal with those type of people, the everyone's, is not going to be what you want to do.
No.
Really.
No.
So a couple other things I want to share here, and our 10-year post-op veteran mentioned this. When you begin your weight loss journey, you may be encouraged, and we certainly encourage you to set two goals. The first one will be a goal weight, right? So I
mm-hmm.
started at 269 pounds, and I wanted to weigh 145 pounds. That was my goal, right? And then once I waited actually until I got there to that 145 to set my warning weight, right? And a warning weight, for me, it's 3 pounds below my goal weight, and it's 3 pounds above my goal weight. So I pretty much have a 6 pound range, right? If I go below, I need to find out why I'm going below that, because healthy, you know, the BMI chart starts mattering when you go below, and, you know, you can become unhealthy on that BMI chart, but people rarely talk about that, right? But I'm 5'10", and I need to watch that BMI chart, right? So I don't want to go too far below my goal weight, and I also don't want to go too high above my goal weight. So that 3 pounds is enough for me to say, hey, ding, 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 what's going on here? It's a warning weight, right?
Right.
Warning weight. And some people like to set their warning weight 5 to 7 pounds above or below a goal weight. So it's really up to you. What I have found is 3 pounds above my goal weight, I can pee, poop, or sweat out 3 pounds in 24 hours.
Good for love.
Yeah, just being honest. You need to set that warning weight for yourself. Like, at what point, if it goes above your goal weight, are you going to stop, drop, and roll? Right? Are you going to call your doctor? Are you going to clean out your kitchen and your work and your car environment? Are you going to start planning some meals? Are you going to focus on your protein first, making sure you get your 64 ounces in? Look at your exercise and see what you should, you know, you could be doing versus what you are doing, right? And really make sure that you are living the weight loss surgery lifestyle. And ask yourself, what's changed? What caused me to go to this place where I'm at the top end of my warning weight? Does that, you guys understand what the warning weight is?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Good morning, ladies.
So when you're, sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm so sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, I actually got into the group late. My name is Pam, and my question is mentally, you know, if you being so big, like 400 on up, and mentally losing all of this weight, do you think it would mess with you mentally? Like, I'm looking at a smaller person. How would you deal with that mentally after so many years of being obese?
So that's a
Have
great question.
Have you ever dealt with anybody that had issues like that?
Everybody.
Okay.
My husband used to weigh 487 pounds before he had gastric bypass 15 years ago. And he has lost 301 pounds.
Wow.
And maintains his weight loss within a 40-pound range pretty much for the last 15 years. And every day there's a conversation about him and his size. And he keeps a picture of his 487-pound self on his nightstand next to our bed.
Okay.
He used to, in our old kitchen, he used to wear, you know, a size 52 or 55 belt to go around his waist. He used to have those belts. He had two belts that would hang across the doorway into the kitchen, right next to the refrigerator, matter of fact.
Wow.
He, you know, every once in a while I'll put a side-by-side photo together for him to show him who he was before and who he is today. So I experienced it firsthand for the last 10 years with my own husband. And I work with clients around the globe for the last 7 years in this business that my business partner, Sandy, used to weigh 427 pounds. And she's lost 250 pounds as a weight loss surgery patient of 14 years ago.
Wow.
So my business partner also started at extremely high weight. And it doesn't matter if you're 400 pounds or more or you're 250 pounds when you start. Honestly, you're going to look and feel different because you're going to be living differently. And it's the mind catching up to the body. And a lot of times there's a whole conversation around body dysmorphia in the weight loss surgery community as well. It happens to people who haven't had weight loss surgery too. So one of the first things that I want to share with you is that that's completely normal, right? And it doesn't matter what your start weight is. It just happens, right, to everybody. It can happen. Number two, I'm a big believer in phototherapy. So, you know, even if you never share the pictures with anybody else, every week I like to take a front body shot and a side body shot when I do my weekly weigh-in. And over time, it's great to be able to look back at those pictures and truly connect with how I'm shrinking, right? Mm-hmm. And so I love taking pictures of myself just to see who I am and get comfortable with that in my head. So pictures are a big piece of it. The other thing, I think, is to talk about it, right? Just like you're here today and you're bringing it up. Like, talk to people about it and share how you're feeling and hear what others have to think about it. And, you know, last but not least, I'm a patient professional, right? And one of the things that we really pride ourselves on here at WLS Success Matters is that we don't ever try to be a medical professional nor a mental health professional. But because that's the case, in a situation like this, I would encourage you to reach out to a mental health professional. And most often, your bariatric surgeon's office can give you a recommendation.
Okay.
And this is not because, you know, you have a mental health condition. I'm not saying that, right?
Right.
But it's because this is completely normal, and there are things that you can talk through and work through and stuff you might not even know about yourself in this world. That if you spoke to somebody who specializes in this type of thing, you will probably be able to work through it a little bit faster and more strategic with the help of a mental health professional. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Thank you, and I appreciate your feedback. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Change is scary. Any kind of change is scary.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, my God, I'm ready to take this big leap, and I don't want to lose my mind in the midst of looking good. So.
Right.
I'd like to add something to that.
Yes.
Something that I personally feel is not mentioned enough, and we're not as willing to talk about it, but there is so much discrimination against obese people. People just discount you, and they don't treat your opinions the same. And I'm an intelligent person, and it was really frustrating to me that people wouldn't listen to me, and they just discounted me. And as you lose weight and you get to a more normal weight, that goes away. And that's something I think we ought to talk about more. I know obese people know how you feel about that.
Right.
And it's something that when I was in that condition, it was one of my primary reasons to lose weight, is I said, I can't live like this. I'm not treated, I'm not allowed to be the person I am. And my opinion isn't given consideration, and people discriminate against me. And that's very real. And it's a good reason to lose weight, and it's a good reason for you to appreciate your weight loss when it happens.
Yep.
And it definitely goes away, and it's definitely there. So we never talk about that, and I just think it's worth mentioning.
Thank you.
Sure. No, good point. I think we can all say that we lived through that at some level, at some way, for sure. So it is 9:05, guys, and our one-hour support group is coming to an end. I do want to ask. I'm going to be here for another 25 minutes, so it's not over. But for those of you that need to go, I totally understand. I do want to ask, what are you taking away today? What did you get out of the call? Anybody?
I got a piece
Put
of
me
mind
first.
I'm going to be okay.
Oh, no.
I'm going to be for okay. Me, I heard that.
For me, it's to put myself first and not to compare myself with other people, that it's my journey, my race, my pace.
Yes.
There you go. Excellent. 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 Anybody else?
I'm just really, I really enjoyed hearing the people that have already done this and have this process. And I,
good.
It gives me more confidence to go through with it.
Perfect. Excellent. Excellent. So a couple of things I want to share with everybody. Again, you can always find us on our website, WLSSuccessMatters.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram as WLS Success Matters, right? We're there all the time. Our we currently have our weekly weigh-in group. So we actually, what we're talking about here, we do that. We offer a 24/7 accountability group that we host in a closed Facebook environment. We've been doing it for 7 years, and we have over 80 people in the group. And I will tell you that 70% of those people have been with us for 3+ years. So it's an awesome group. It's a family, and we work through all things weight loss surgery related. Weigh-in days on Tuesday. It's 1 day a week. We do have a personalized digital progress chart that you can see over time as well that goes with it for my engineer out there. And then we do all things related to weight loss surgery. We have a success habits lesson every week. We have weekly action challenges that are about you against you, and those are built around the success habits principles, typically focused on either water, protein, nutrition, exercise, personal accountability always, vitamins and supplements, self-image, body image, things of that nature. And our next group, we start a new group every first Tuesday of the month. And so our next weekly weigh-in group starts on Tuesday the 4th, and that will run until October 31st. So it's 2 months long to get started with us, and it's $69 currently, which is a pretty good deal. And that you can get signed up for that and join us on our website, WLSSuccessMatters.com. So if you're pre-op, we've had a lot of pre-oppers join us, and it's a great place to be to start building accountability and building on those habits and setting a foundation for your future. And for those of you that are post-op, like I said, one of my clients is 18 years post-op, and she's in the group and has lost 70 pounds in a very short period of time of 18 years post-op. So if you need some additional support, some additional encouragement, a place to call home, so you're not out there on an island by yourself, then our weekly weigh-in group is the perfect place to do it. So we'd love to have you there, and you can get all the information on our website, WLSSuccessMatters.com. With that said, it's 9:09. I will stay here as long as you guys want me to stay here. Well, at least until 9:30. That's my cutoff time today. So we have about 20 minutes. And this is where we open up the call to answer and or discuss anything specific that you want to talk about, anything that was not a part of the support group. So there's still a lot of you on the call. Anybody have a question or something they want to talk about while we're here together?
I just want to say thank you that I'm going to have to run, but I definitely look forward to more of these calls. They're very, very helpful.
Great. Good. Well, glad to have you with us. Our website has all the all of our dates moving forward. So feel free to check out the website.
Thank you so much. And I just want to tell everybody good luck and God bless.
Thank you. Same to you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
And then I had, as part of my pre-op, I needed to have this online counseling type deal that we did today. How do I get them to recognize that it's been done?
Yeah, so you just send us an email. Our email address, do you have a pen?
I do.
So our email address is WLSSuccessMatters.
Uh-huh.
It's long, but it's just like it sounds, WLSSuccessMatters@gmail.com. And it, just send us an email. Give us you have the email address of who needs the confirmation.
Okay.
And email us and say, I attended.
No. So I'll have to get their email.
Okay. Get that email address, and then just send us an email that I attended the Saturday, September 1st support group. Can you please verify my attendance?
Oh,
and that your name was Jeannie. And then when we will send that email to the person you need us to, and we'll copy you on the email.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And I really did enjoy it and feel like I got a lot out. And like the last caller, I hope everybody continued success.
Oh, wonderful. We're so glad to have you. Don't be a stranger.
I won't. I plan on getting very involved. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Take good care.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is.
So, Wendy, I'd like to share something, if that's possible, not necessarily ask a question.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
I had my surgery in 2011 on the 21st of April, and I was very successful the first year and then started to regain slowly, and I'd not set that range. And it just crept up, and eventually I regained everything plus. And in the last 2 years, I have now re-lost the 48 pounds that of some of the regain. I've got another I've just got to do a conversion quickly in my head, about another 13 pounds or so to get back to where I was post-op. And honestly, you're absolutely right. Everything you discussed is true. It is possible. I can remember walking back after I'd regained to see my surgeon and him looking at me and with this look as if I'd, you know, like a father looks at his daughter when you've done something wrong. And he said to me, you were my success story, what happened. And he looked really disappointed, and it was terrible to have to go through that. But one of my biggest wake-up calls, one of the things I'd not done the first time around was I'd not recognized that this was a journey and not an end goal. It is something that changes day to day. As we change as people, we have to keep refocusing. And so being a part of this Facebook group is key to my success, absolutely key, mm-hmm. because if I don't have that once a week check-in, if I don't see how everyone else is doing and I see that I'm part of a group, it's almost like being a member of the AA, you know, it's like you think you can do it on your own and you walk away, but you can't. And it's recognizing that there's a part of you that will almost, like you used to talk about the fat lady in your head. it's having those conversations and being honest with yourself and staying committed and understanding that it's those baby steps every day, every meal, every hour. Just today, I'd gone grocery shopping, and I went in hungry. And I thought, hold on a sec, this is really bad. So I grabbed a protein bar out of my handbag and ate that while I walked around the shop. I was then able to avoid picking up this packet of jellies that I love. And I actually held it because it was on special. I looked at it, and I went, you're being ridiculous. And I had to have this conversation with myself in my head. And that's what it is. And every time you successfully walk away from something, you get better at it. And it's about being selfish in the sense of being investing in yourself so you can be a better version of yourself for everybody else.
Yep. You got it right, girl. Good job with that protein bar. Good job.
Thanks.
No, that's exactly it. All of it. You can't. The weekly weigh-in group is designed right out of my own pocket, right?
Mm.
I did this group with my group of friends for a number of years, before we launched it as part of WLS Success Matters. And there's a reason why it's the number one program that we offer, because when you realize, I liked how you stated it, you know, AA, you go to the meeting and you walk away. And there's no walking away. You're better off when you can have that contact with somebody and just know that there's somebody there 24/7. And having that accountability structure is truly how you create change, and being surrounded by other people who know what you got going on. But you're exactly right with having those out loud conversations, with the conversation in your head, and each time that you win, no matter how small or how big, it builds up your confidence and the ability that you can do it again. Right?
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Thank you. Great share. And there's someone else on the line. I don't know if they want to add to that or share anything about that. Caller 860 area code, you're still with us?
Yeah, you got me.
Did you have any questions or want to add or share anything with us?
No, I just wanted to share with you guys. She's so right.
Oh, it's Linda.
Yeah.
Linda. You guys are both in the weekly weigh-in group together.
Yep. She's so right about, it's taking back your control and just doing everything you can to just not, like, yesterday and the day before, I just, luckily I had my protein shakes with me 2 days in a row, so I didn't get into the junk food, and I'm like, wow, is this really me?
There you go.
Before I would have gone for the chocolate, and it's like, wow. And then my father had ice cream last night, and he's like, want a lick of it? No, thank you. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, look at that. No, thank you. Good job, girl.
And it just makes you feel like, wow, it's like empowerment. And
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
I couldn't walk the past 2 days, and it's like I feel a difference when I can't walk.
Yeah.
Like, I feel sluggish when I can't walk, and it's like, today I'm out there and I'm going to walk.
No one's taking away that for you today. I got that. I hear you. Yeah, good. Good. That means that you're creating a lifestyle and habits and change, and you're transforming, and you're living it, Linda.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And it's just so different now that it's like I love working out, and it's the greatest.
Right? And you can't convince anybody of that. That's what I know for sure. You can't convince anybody. If they try it, they'll love it, right? They all have to figure it out for themselves. And when you do, and both of you are in that same place, right, when you do figure that out, you can't figure out, you don't remember when you didn't do it. You know,
that's right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How did I not do this before? Like, why wasn't I doing this before? And you can't understand why anybody else would not, right? Like,
yeah. And on the flip side, you could just as easily swing back to what you were doing before, because that's exactly what happened to me. And I'm just in the same shop that I was doing today, I saw this low-carb, low-calorie ice cream, and I thought, well, that's okay. But then my head went, that's a gateway drug, because it's just going to be like, don't go there, you know. So you have good days and bad days, but it's sometimes it requires ending friendships too, with enablers, and it's not an easy road to walk, but it's a daily walk. And on the good days, you milk it for all it's worth, and you stick to it, and then sometimes you have these hiccups, and it's easy to reach for the stuff, the old things that made us feel good.
Yeah,
so you just have to replace
replace them with something else. So for me, my running has become my feel good. If I get that in, I feel good. And if I don't, then I want the food. So it's understanding that I need to have those difficult conversations and make people around me realize that my mother loves to take me for a coffee, but then she says, let's share a dessert. And I'm like, no, thank you. Oh, come on, have it. You're getting too thin now. It's exactly those things you were saying. And it's hard sometimes when you change and then other people don't. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are recovering alcoholics, and that's why I refer to the AA and see the similarities. And they say to me, one of them plays guitar in a band, and for him it's hard because whenever he goes to his shows, everybody wants to go for drinks afterwards or drink while they're playing, and he doesn't. And so he's lost some social connections through that. So it's the same thing with weight loss. When you go on a path and you're now sticking to a different way of eating and living, some of your friends aren't on that journey, and it makes it difficult. And it's having those head talks beforehand, saying, okay, Bronwyn, you're going to go to this dinner party, and you know that X, Y, and Z is going to be offered. So what are you going to do? What are your contingency plans? How are you going to navigate that when you get there? You know, like reach for a glass of water first thing. Have conversations with people that maybe you haven't met before to try and avoid the chip bowl, the crisp bowl. There's things you have to do because it's too easy to just slip back and do those things again. And it doesn't, I'm not 7 years post-op, and it's still there.
Yeah, no, it is all about visioning, absolutely, and creating that plan, and then having a plan B, walking through it in your head, and doing your very best to execute, and then not beating yourself up and not giving up if everything doesn't go as planned, and being able to say what did go well and what did not, and then create the next plan. And literally, it's every day. It's every choice. It's every day. And there's a difference. I can just say that I know for sure that there is a difference between people who do those things and reset every day and reset with each choice and, have the ability to evaluate themselves honestly and authentically and not beat themselves up, and that can reset and go again. They're going to be the long-time success people on this journey. And those that aren't putting that type of energy into it will slowly start to, be in a place where it's okay for now, but eventually it'll catch up to them and they'll wish that they had done it differently. And when you get a second chance, when you give yourself that second chance and you get in that place to do it again, you have to learn from the first opportunity, right?
Yeah, and it's what the other thing you said about the difference between goal setters and goal getters. I think I had been a goal setter and the band had done all the work the first time around. The second time around, I know it was me who did all the work. It was 110%. It's me. And my head's changed to a goal getter as opposed to a goal setter. I'm setting past the goal weight. It's like, it's not about that anymore. It's about being my authentic self, being happy in my skin, not caring about what other people think anymore. It's about how I feel.
Yep. And that's a wonderful place to be, because at the end of the day, what I've tried to tell people for a number of years, eventually you are going to be in that place where your weight, Linda, you're there right now, where your weight is not the motivating factor. Right. So when you get to that point where you land in maintenance and you're living in your tiny little range, of small fluctuations, the thrill every day or every week of standing on that scale and seeing it go down, or the thrill of buying your next smallest pair of jeans, or your thrill of finally being able to cross your legs, or your thrill of, wearing that tiny black dress, to a party, those things start to go away because that's where you're at, right? So it really, for me, became about fitness after that. What more could I do? Could I run a half marathon? Could I run a marathon? Could I do C to 5K, 100% incline? Could I do a triathlon? Could I ride a bike? Could I do yoga? Could I start P90X? Could I do, you know, for me, it became, I needed that high of the thrill of accomplishment, and fitness gave me that opportunity. And the great thing is that it tied in to my weight, right? It helped me manage my weight, and I needed to do it as a lifestyle, and it also gave me that thrill of excitement. And then I'm going to tell you, you know, that was from pretty much year two to probably year six. And then there's a whole nother phase after that, right? Now it's not – I've accomplished every fitness goal I set and that I wanted to accomplish. I don't have anymore, right? So what's it about now? And now it's just about sharing the message with other people. And practicing what I preach, and maintaining.
I think for me,
go ahead.
For me, it was this year. For me, back in the end of May, it was doing my competition for my eye journey. That was my goal, to do that. My next year's goal is to do it again, but be more fit and do it.
There you go. Absolutely. Right? Ride that wave. Have fun doing it. Feel good doing it. Yeah.
That's I don't want to be in fourth place doing it. I want to be in a different, like, get a different ranking in doing it.
There you go.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep.
Why not? Right?
Yep.
Why not? Well, excellent, ladies. It's
Okay, so great
to chat with you. I have a busy, busy, productive day and weekend ahead of me. So unless either of you have something else to share, I'm going to call it a day and get off of here.
No, I'm good. Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah,
thank you, you guys. I appreciate you being here, and love you both. I'll see you soon, right?
I'll
talk to you sooner, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
And all right. Have a great weekend.